Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. How apropos that we should sit here in Straight Talk as they are teeing off for the first round of the 2025 PGA Golf Tournament up at that small little country club called Quail Hollow in that suburb to the north called Charlotte. Because we're sitting here with our own sports crew. Jim Nantz couldn't make it. He couldn't make it, so we decided we were going to bring in Brown Simpson and Matt Hires, who were trained by Jim Nantz. Is that right?
I think we had a little bit of training for Jim.
Him and Keith Jackson.
Yeah. Two great ones.
Two great ones. Well, we got our own grades here. And we're going to be talking about the high school league. And first, before we get into that, let's do some introductions. Mr. Hires,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about your illustrious self, if you would.
I don't know about illustrious. Maybe infamous. But Matt Hires, here from Rock Hill, South Carolina. Work during the day, by day, at Williams and Fudge. I'm the facilities manager over there for Gary and David and Chris, and take care of everything they need taken care of. I'm Moonlight with OTS Media, and enjoy calling ball games on Friday night, some of them with my partner here today, Brown Simpson.
Okay.
And in the capacity I'm here today is as a member of the executive committee of the South Carolina High School League.
Okay. I noticed that you had a daughter who just swung in here from USC.
Absolutely. Madison just came home for the summer. She's going right to work.
Good for her.
Yes.
Good for her.
She's a lifeguard in the summers.
Good.
Up in some communities in Fort Mill.
Ah.
And she's looking forward to it, but I had to get her fed first.
I noticed she walked right in. She said, "I'm hungry," and Matt refilled his wallet, gave her a credit card. Bingo, there we go. Yeah,
that's the way you do it.
Okay, Mr. Simpson.
All right, I'm Brown Simpson. I'm from Rock Hill. I have, for the last 21 and a half years, worked for the town of Fort Mill. I'm the Parks and Recreation Director. And I'm married to Kim. We've been married 32 years, have two grown daughters, Allison, Hannah, and Margaret. And I'm here today because I have been a game official for the South Carolina High School League for 34 years. First of all, 34 years in softball and also 18 years in volleyball. So I have a vested interest of what's happening right now with the league, and I always cared about what's happened with the league, too, because I think they do a great job.
All right, so the high school league, for many people who have no idea what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, you're on the board.
Yes, the High School League here in South Carolina, it's an independent organization established in 1913, and it's actually run by the schools, the member schools, which range, of course, you hear about the classifications, 5A, 4A, all the way down to 1A. They also include private schools and public charter schools that would like to be a member. And they actually have a legislative assembly where each classification and each region, they have a representative. They get together in April of each year and come together, and they vote on the rules, any rules changes, any bylaws or constitutional changes with the league. And it's actually run by them.
So if you take a look at the entire roster of schools, how many schools is the league representing?
I believe last count was around 220.
220 schools.
Around that, yes, sir.
And as a member of the league, if I was a school representative, my school is agreeing to certain rules and structures of the league?
Right.
By them?
The schools, they adopt the rules.
Right.
They're made aware of it. There's rules clinics for each sport every year. They get together and they decide on what rules they want to abide by, usually in conjunction with the National Federation of High Schools. There's a national association, and usually they put out rules. They have a lot of resources where they study safety, trends that are going on with the sport, things that can be done better. And so we get a lot of guidance from them as well, but it ultimately is up to the member schools.
So if there's a change, let's say, to a rule involving football or volleyball, that is something that the league would assess as to whether it makes sense or not?
Yes.
And then there'd be some vote?
Yes, sir. And they'd present it at that annual meeting in April.
Okay. And you've been doing this since 1913?
Yes, sir.
1913. So that's, what, 113 years, something like
yes.
that?
Yes, sir.
It is.
So with that being said, as far as officials, which you do, Brown, you're regulated or scheduled or whatever by the league?
Yeah, we're governed by the high school league. And we take a – this is one thing. We have study sessions for each sport. And I can tell you right now, football, they start in April and meet April and May once a week through June. And then they have a clinic in Columbia in July. And they take a national federation test, true, false, or multiple choice. And then also in the sport of football, the South Carolina High School League also gives the football officials across the state another test. So it's a lot to it. And I don't think sometimes people understand, especially for those that officiate high school athletics, what all goes into it. You just don't pop in and go out on the field and buy your equipment and officiate. There's a lot of prep that goes into it. There's a lot of study that goes into it. There's a lot of clinics that go into it, whatever sport it is, to make sure that you put the adequate official and is well prepared out on the field when they officiate a high school athletic event.
So are the officials evaluated by the league?
That's a great question. There's two sports right now that the high school league themselves assign officials. First of all, it's football. Varsity football, and the second is varsity boys and girls basketball. And there is an evaluation process with that. The football officials, when you work a game, you've got five officials, unless when you get in the playoffs, you go to seven. That crew evaluates each other.
Huh.
And there also might be somebody from the stands from the high school league that might be there also, too, that might evaluate that officiating crew. Or let's say a softball game, you might be evaluated that way. So, yeah, there's evaluations that go back into this, and it kind of – it's a status that kind of helps guide officials and makes that official a better official. And, you know, as an official, we're going to miss things. But the biggest thing, too, is you want to make sure that if you miss things, you learn from them. You get in a position to make the better calls. You study the rules to make sure that you're up on the rules. So it's – it's a lot to it, but in the long run, people that get into high school sports officiating, they've got to love what they do.
And that's a big issue right now. They don't have enough officials.
Well, it's a huge challenge, no doubt, and it doesn't matter what sport it is right now. It's a huge challenge across this country to find qualified people that are willing to lend their time to go out and officiate and work, whether it's a rec game or whether it's a high school game.
And if you're looking to be an official, head on over to
SCHSL.org.
SCHL?
SCHSL, South Carolina High School League.org.
Okay. All right.
And they got a practice test on there. Let me follow up with Brent. I did it for fun one day. I said, let's see how I do. I made it to about question four. So they're tough. They are really testing your knowledge on different scenarios and rules and
so you basically have to be recertified every year.
You recertify every year. You like I said, you go through study sessions because what happens on a national level too, Manning, is you have on the national level, like Matt was talking about earlier, the National Federation of High School, each sport has committee and representatives from across the country. And they meet and they look at rule challenges and things like that rule changes, or like Matt said, different trends that you want to make sure you err on the side of safety. So they meet with those, and then they pass those on, and they're voted on at a national level, and then they pass down to the state level.
So you also, the league schedules all these officials for all the games?
They do, and I think the program they use is Arbiter.
ArbiterSports.com, yes. Which is owned by the NCAA.
Okay.
Yes, and they schedule those, and there's so many different parameters that go with scheduling these officials. Like, you can't officiate a game involving your alma mater or where your children go to school or when a certain proximity. You can't have any connection with the school. So they've got to – and then they take the separate grades of each official from their evaluation, and they don't put They put like the best with the worst, and then they work inwards for the five officials. So it's extremely complicated process.
So when you go to officiate, you can't officiate anything around here.
I can officiate things around here, but just really not my school that I graduated from high school.
Okay.
Try not to do those unless we get into a jam and we don't have enough officials. But I've been out of high school now for, I hate to say, 41 years. So everybody that was at the high school I graduated at that time are gone.
All right. So now, what's the rub with the league? Why does the state of South Carolina or certain members of the General Assembly are upset with the high school league, and they've been talking about creating an actual government high school league?
There was a bill proposed this year. I do not wish to speculate on why it came about. That's for the legislators to say. But it was effectively dissolving the high school league was the design, and to put it under the South Carolina Department of Education. It was to be governed by a board of seven appointees, from, you know, one from the Speaker of the House, one from the President of the Senate, and these seven members to regulate a governmental agency under the Department of Education, which would take the place of the high school league.
So I'm sitting here speculating because I don't follow this and don't know anything about it. But something tells me, with how intense parents are with sports, with high school sports, and how vocal they can be when something doesn't go their way, that there may have been a series of, I don't know, such incidences over the last, whatever, year or two, that they yelled loud enough and some people started paying attention to it?
Possibly. And we get letters when there's certain rules that are broken and sanctions are handed down for the different member schools. We have begun to get in our appeals packets, when they appeal their punishment, letters from state senators, letters from state representatives. God. And it, I appreciate it. I appreciate the feedback, because sometimes they offer insight that we don't know. And I value that. But you have to look at the bigger picture and understand the rules and the actual functions of the league, because anytime a punishment's handed down, it's just not, boom, there, judge, jury, executioner. They get the opportunity to appeal to the executive committee. If it doesn't go their way, then there is an appellate panel that's actually appointed by the South Carolina legislature that it goes to then. So there's actually three steps to actually getting a sanction if you want to continue to appeal.
So how often is this happening?
Appeals for rule sanctions?
Well, I mean, people, you know, filing a formal complaint.
We will meet approximately once every 2 months in person, and we'll have anywhere between 3 to 10 appeals. And sometimes there are emergency appeals that happen in season. Say a young person gets suspended for saying a curse word to an umpire.
Or fighting.
And they get tossed out of a game. Then that ejection, it goes on to the next game as well. They're out for the next game. So if they're in the playoffs and there's a playoff schedule set, the schools want to get that heard immediately. So we have to have emergency sessions over Zoom, and especially when certain sports are in season.
So I'm running, again, I'm speculating here that most of these complaints are coming during the football season?
Mostly during the fall. I mean, you'll have, it doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily one sport over another. It's over a myriad. We have girls basketball, boys basketball, lacrosse.
Oh, yeah. Get hit with a stick.
But football, you got to think they have the majority. They have the largest teams, aside from track teams on a campus. So there can be a lot more violations. You have a lot more people to violate out there.
So Mr. Official here, Mr. Brown Simpson, you've been doing this a long time. Are you finding in the games that you are umpiring that the parents are becoming more vocal about a call that you might make in a volleyball game or whatever, a basketball game?
I mean, we have that periodically. But, you know, when I go out, and this is me personally, and I try to teach this to my other officials too, when you go out and officiate a game, you're concentrating on what's going on, whether it's on that volleyball court or whether it's on that softball field. What happens outside the fence, the confines of the fence, I try to put that out of my mind because I'm trying to concentrate and do the best job I can do for that student athlete in that contest that I'm officiating. So you've got to have one of the things that's important being an official, you got to have tough skin. Sometimes you got to let stuff go through one ear and out the other. And that's important. And that's hard sometimes, Manning, for younger people to understand that. That's one of the biggest challenges. But in the same sense, too, is, you know, education-based sports are so great for our student athletes at our schools. And they teach so many lifelong lessons for years. So, you know, you do have that some, but usually we ask when we get there, is there an administrator on site? Is that athletic director there? Is the principal there? Because anything that happens outside the confines of the field, we let them handle that, and we don't get involved in that.
You know, one of the biggest issues that public schools are having nationwide, and right here in South Carolina as well, is discipline. Kids are coming into the classroom, and they're just not disciplined at home, so they kind of act out in the classrooms. Do you find that is the case in these sports?
You know, I've been doing softball for 34 years, and I think I've had two players that were ejected a couple years ago for fighting in a softball game. And over that long period, I'll take that back. I had one years ago, malicious contact. A runner ran over the catcher on purpose, and that's an automatic ejection and an out. So I really don't have too much of that. I think when we set the tone at the pregame meeting or the pre-match meeting, that we explain to the coaches, sportsmanship starts right here, and it starts with you two.
Yes.
And if you lay that on the line and lay that expectation, usually we don't have a lot of problems.
So is that what the league kind of does at the beginning of all these sports seasons? You'll somehow talk to a group of officials and say, here's what we expect of you this year.
Yes. Yes, and these officials rules clinic, the sports rules clinics, they go over that in depth and what they're going to be looking for and emphasizing this year or the coming sports year. But what Brown said, yes, sportsmanship is one of the key pillars to the South Carolina High School League and the value of interscholastic athletics. I mean, you're teaching our young people how to work together as a team, work toward a common goal. Maybe work with people that don't look like you or come from the same socioeconomic background. It teaches our children how to win gracefully, and it also teaches them how to lose gracefully, which is a very it's a vanishing concept.
Yeah.
It's a vanishing concept, but there's a lot more to learn from losing than winning.
With all the interviews I've done over the years with Winthrop University coaches, the nomenclature of student-athlete is always there, student-athlete. They push that all the time, and they've got great, they have fabulous great point averages over there, 3.3, 3.5, whatever the heck it is. So is that something that the high school league stresses as well?
Absolutely.
The student concept?
Absolutely.
I mean, are there rules that you can't play if you're a DNF student or how that
works?
Yes,
yes. There's a grade point average that you, if you don't attain a 2.0 or higher, you're not eligible to play interscholastic athletics. And we honor the scholar athletes that that do achieve high in the classroom and make sure that they're recognized as well. But the student athlete, you know, student comes first over athlete.
Yeah, and I would imagine a lot of the coaches have to keep rein on that during the course of the year.
They do. Yeah. They do, and when we hear these appeals or students coming in front of us to appeal their eligibility, that's usually the first question we ask is, where are your transcripts? How are your grades?
Do they have to report these? I mean, do you get grades from all these athletes during the course of the year?
Now, when the different schools, they have to submit their rosters, their eligibility reports every year before each sports season. And that has to include their grade point average, their attendance, how many credits they took, or what they did in the previous grade, the previous year leading up to that athletic season.
But once the season's underway, you're not getting updates on these grade point averages, are you?
No, but hopefully the coaches are.
All right, okay. Well, we got to take our mid-program break and figure out why the heck the state of South Carolina wants to get into this business.
Can I just throw one thing in before we take that break?
Yeah, sure.
The South Carolina High School League's motto, Manning, has always been, and I think this is so true, an athlete's not crowned unless he or she competes according to the rules. And I think that's something that we really need to remember as we look at this.
Good point. All right, remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, is also with us today, as is the good doctor over here who's going to assist us now that he's got a mouthful of potato chips. We're telling everybody what the heck goes on here at Substation 2. Fresh subs and salads, we do that 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it at the count of three. Tommy, you ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Substation 2 has a lot of foot traffic, causing periodic repairs that have to be made. To get this work done, Substation 2 will be closed Memorial Day weekend, Saturday through Monday, May 24th to 26th. But we will reopen Tuesday, May 27th. Fingers crossed anyway, we can get it done.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
The Piedmont Medical Center Women's Tower at our Rock Hill campus boasts fully furnished labor and delivery rooms and family care suites. Our Level 3 NICU is equipped to provide advanced medical treatments for premature infants and infants who may have complications. Inside the Women's Tower, families begin bonding with their special deliveries in private family care suites, allowing mom and baby to relax with ease. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
If a big outdoor project is part of your future plans, before you start digging, call 811. Within 72 hours, your underground utilities will be located and marked, and you'll know exactly where it's safe to dig. A quick phone call is all it takes, and there's no charge to find out where potentially dangerous underground cables and lines are located. Before you grab a shovel or start digging in the yard, call 811 at least 3 business days before digging. Remember, if it requires a shovel, it requires a call to 811.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Attention sublovers, Substation 2 is turning 39 and we're celebrating. This is Charlie Ruffalo. Be one of the first 39 customers through our doors on June 6th and win one free sub every month for an entire year. But wait, there's more. The next 39 customers will snag an incredible 39% discount on any one order placed by June 5th, 2026. It's a sandwich sensation at Substation 2. Come join us June 6th as we celebrate 39 years of mouthwatering subs and salads. Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Matt Hires, who serves on the board of the South Carolina High School League. Brown Simpson, who is an official with the league. Volleyball and softball.
Correct.
Those are your specialists. Okay. So here we are. We've learned about, it's very interesting to learn about what the high school league does. But now the state of South Carolina is messing with it, it's actually talking about taking it over. Legislation was put in the hopper. It didn't pass.
Well, it went through subcommittee.
It didn't pass.
The Education and Public Works, and then it made it to full committee, and then they tabled debate on the bill with about a week left in session with the intention of bringing it back up and reintroducing an improved bill in January. Which was much needed. The bill itself was about 4 pages, about 3.5 pages. And you look at the South Carolina High School League constitution and bylaws, and they're about 84 pages, and that's not including any rule books or anything like that. So
essentially, if this thing were to pass, the high school league would be gone, and the state of South Carolina would create another mechanism to do what we just talked about.
Yes, sir. Their intention was to put it under the Department of Education, governed over by a 7-member politically appointed board.
Oh, boy.
And they basically create a new quasi-agency, state agency, per the bill. And the one of the pieces that concerned me was the funding. Currently, the high school league is funded by the member schools,
right,
by dues, and also by a portion of playoff ticket sales for each sport. And that's how they get the majority of their funding, other than sponsorships. But the bill really didn't say how it was going to be funded. I'm assuming it'd be by taxpayers and putting that burden on them instead of the member schools. So there was a lot of vagueness there, and there's room for them to improve that bill, definitely.
So has the high school league, you members of the board, have you all been fighting against this?
Well,
trying to plead your case?
More educating people. Not actively fighting against it, but saying, hey, this is what the high school league does on a day-to-day, you know, day-to-day operation standpoint, not only with officials, but with safety, with the rules, with determining venues, state championships, classifications, playoffs, and it takes a lot of work. There are a lot of hardworking folks at the league.
So, time out here.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, surely, from the league has asked these legislators, why are you doing this?
Yes.
Why? And their answer is?
Not a clear answer. They feel like there needs to be more oversight. I'm sorry. That would be their best answer.
Oversight of you?
Oversight of the day-to-day operations, the commissioner, which we actually do performance reviews on, the executive committee,
right,
every year, and try to see, you know, if he meets standards or exceeds standards and keep him in check. But the executive committee and then the appellate panel that we discussed earlier, they really have final say on any kind of rules, appeals, anything like that. But as it stands now, the schools are the ones with all the power that determine the rules and how the leagues run.
So are the schools complaining about the league?
Some are. It's just a matter of circumstance. Some days they're pleased with it, some days they're not. A lot like politicians.
I'm wondering whether the problem is with the league, or is it a personality conflict between whoever's running the high school league and some elected officials?
That would be for the elected officials to decide. Like I said, I don't care to speculate on that.
All right. From an official standpoint, Brown, which is what you represent, are you hearing anything from officials like the league is all messed up and we need to reconstitute this thing?
Not really. I think that the thing, Manning, that concerns me more than anything else is with the legislature putting this in subcommittee, have they reached out to any officials across the state? That was a question I asked one of our local legislators here in an email that I sent him. Because I think officials play a key role in interscholastic athletics, just like student athletes do too. And, you know, I think that there's always room for improvement. But, you know, what the league does on a daily basis, and I understand because I'm also the assigner for the Lancaster Softball District, which I assign all the high school softball officials in our area and then go down into the PD also some too. This is my assigning area. But, you know, I don't think the legislature understands really what, like Matt said, what our league staff does on a day-to-day basis to keep the operation moving. Not only do they manage high school athletics, they also govern middle school athletics too, which is a lot of member schools too across the state.
Guys, we've run out of time. I would suggest that you contact your legislators that are promoting what you're doing and say, hey, listen to this show. Maybe you'll learn something. Very interesting. Thank you, Matt Hires. Thank you, Brown Simpson. And we'll see what happens with this. I'm sure there'll be another chapter in this story, for sure. But that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Caporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. One more time, what we do here at Substation 2, it is magic. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. It's why the masses come in here day after day after day after day, even on a scooter out there. How we do it? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.